And welcome to the episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today for this year-end special is Wario Will.
See the sunset, the day is ending.
I can't believe it's actually the last NEP of the decade. I mean, how long have how many episodes now has been? And just since we started this is like, wowzers. It's been the last NEP of the decade.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah, and everyone's like hyping it up. Like, oh yeah, it's the end of the decade. And I'm just like, oh yeah, it is the end of a decade, isn't it? Whatever. Speaking of whatever, tell you Tyler is over here.
How dare you. after we come back for the new year, we're going to be time skip NEP. New looks for everyone. Maybe a new banner. We haven't discussed this, but maybe a new banner. We have to mark the new year somehow.
We'll think about it. I've already got my haircut, so like that's all the new look you're gonna get. I do have a new Legend of Zelda shirt though.
Ooh.
So I did indeed get my Legend in the Making Zelda shirt. So That's your new look, new hair, and a new shirt. That's all you
I
get.
I think that you should grow a beard as well.
I can't.
I've been thinking about this, and
I've tried.
I think
I
you
can't.
Should try.
I can't. I've tried. I've honestly
Can you,
tried.
You could draw one on.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, there's also in the genetics as well. I mean, or just eat a lot of red meat. That kind of helps out as well. Yeah.
I'm good. Thank you, Will. All right. So as I noted, it is our year-end special. We're going to look back at 2019 and the entire decade and talk things Nintendo, what our experiences have been, and then looking back at the 2019 Nintendo Draft, see who was right, who was wrong, and whether we were right or wrong, because there's gonna be a lot of debates. I promise you that, especially for Tyler. Anyway, so
I was right on all of them.
No, I honestly, you honestly weren't. I looked up your draft. You weren't as right as you thought you were.
Well,
we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But first, we're gonna start off with what have you been playing? And it's a very special what have you been playing, because we're going to talk about all the games that you've played this entire decade.
That's right. Buckle your seatbelts.
Yeah. DS, 3DS, Switch, NES Classic, SNES Classic, all of it. No PS crap, Will, so don't talk about Death Stranding. I don't care. We don't care.
Actually, I will talk about Death Stranding.
No, you will not.
Just kidding. I kid.
No, you don't kid, because I know you would. You have before.
So Kid Icarus Uprising, I think, is the most underappreciated game of the decade, and for the next 30 minutes, I will explain why that is.
I don't know about underappreciated. I mean, that control scheme is meant to kill your hands, so...
Right.
It was perfect.
That, yeah.
It was...
Not perfect.
I mean, listen, to the faint
Unless
of heart,
you have tentacle
maybe
arms,
it wasn't.
Then maybe. Unless you have tentacles, then maybe.
Tyler, it was so not perfect, they had to actually make an extension arm of the controller so you could try and can control it better without killing your
they
hands.
They were just
and
making it for babies. It was for the babies who couldn't figure it out.
Gosh.
Oh, here's an attachment now. You can play.
Are you seriously trying to justify? Look, I get
a bunch of millennials,
not
bunch
meant
of
for bigger hands, but come on.
Anyway, no, we're not going to talk about the games of the decade, but we'll get to that later. I honestly haven't been playing much because it's just been a busy week, Christmas and all that. I have been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and in the new Legendary Heroes banner, I was able to get Celica, Queen of Valentia, and Female Grima, who I'd never had before.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And I got them, you know, within 20 orbs. Because I'm
lucky.
Awesome.
That's
yeah.
just
lucky.
Good luck. Well done.
Okay, well, first of all, I got to give credit to our dear goddess, Sothis, because I got Grima in the first or second free ticket. So that was really helpful. And then, I kid you not, I was only going for greens because I wanted Celica. And yeah, like for like two or three rounds, I couldn't get a green orb. It was like all grays, all blues, and I was just like, what the frick? And that's how I got Grima, because there was no green, so I had to go for a gray. And I was just like, what the heck? And finally I got a green, and there was Celica. I'm like, yay, done. And so I have like 250 orbs still for the next banner.
Ooh,
nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a gift at times.
The New Year's banner leaked already.
Oh, yeah.
Has it? Has
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I saw part of it. Is it Anna in it?
Anna, Alphonse, and Air is also in it.
Huh.
I think there's one more. I can't remember who it is, but...
Well, I'll look forward to that. I'll definitely try and get Anna, just if for no reason, just to have two Annas on my team. You can never have too many Annas, unless they're all trying to sell you stuff, then there's way too many Annas.
Oh, yeah, like a New Year celebration Anna. Yeah, I'm seeing the design right now. Holy crap.
But yeah, I honestly haven't played much, but I did get Pokemon Shield for Christmas. So this weekend, I will no doubt be diving back into the realm of Galar so that I can enjoy Pokemon all over again, just with a slightly fresh experience, since it's been at least 2 weeks since I played it last. So
can we settle something here? Sure. Is it Galar or Galar?
I've heard it both ways.
Because
I
don't know how to say it. And
I say Galar,
ways.
But I've heard Galar.
It's really a tomato-tomato situation. There really is no correct way, I think. So
There must be a correct way. When the anime comes out, we will know the truth.
honestly, I have not played much, but it's just because of the time. And hopefully by next week, I'll have played at least Pokemon for a little bit. So we'll see how. I'm curious how it's going to feel the second time going through. I just don't know who to choose. Do I choose Scorbunny, or Scorbunny? No, I'm kidding. I'm probably going to go Sobble this time, just to spite Tyler.
Sobble's by far the worst Pokemon.
Can it?
No,
can
no.
It?
Like, it's actually true.
Uh-huh. Can it?
Uh huh. Anyway, so that's honestly what I've been playing. So enjoy.
Nice. I guess I'll probably head into my Christmas stories, and I imagine I'll play some video games. Yes, Faye has been kind to me as well. Got two solid cards, but unfortunately burned through a lot of my orbs, though. Like, the beginning sessions was pretty horrible, but I did manage to get Edelgard and Dimitri. Now just Claude, so I get the three houses, but I still need to feed my pile of. So Faye was pretty kind, and yeah, if anybody has been following on my Twitter, yes, I can tell by the beginning intro of this bit of my songs. Yeah, I finally managed to actually beat Death Stranding, and gotta say, it is quite the trip.
I thought you were kidding about not talking about Death Stranding.
I just did, but the ending of Death Stranding and just how, like, the entire message of it all. I mean, Kojima, it's a trip. Like, it's a good message. I understand what Kojima's definitely trying to go for at the end of this entire crazy experience. But gotta say, it's not bad. And of course, with BB and everything else, like, once you, like, reach that end, I think you probably can understand a bit more, which I think whoever played this game and finished up to the end, I think it's something that, like, it's almost like getting over it with Bed Foddy, that rage game. Once you reach the top of the mountain, then you can probably understand. That's probably the best analogy I can give. But yeah, Death Stranding, finished it after 147 hours. And overall, it's gotta say, Kojima, you did some pretty good work. Not like it's perfect. No way, it's definitely not a game of the year material. Clearly not. But in regards to, like, music and just, like, the story it managed to give, it was, like, it's pretty solid first effort from Kojima being an indie developer now, like, being independent. So Kojima, good works on Death Stranding. I can't wait to see what's coming up next, and hopefully your next project will just continue that creativity line of yours, even if it's crazy and no one gets your personal taste. So, yeah, keep up the good work, Kideo.
Okay. Well, have been playing Fire Emblem Three Houses, as, of course, is tradition. My Black Eagles Maddening run is going really well. Edelgard is unbelievably powerful, just, like, right out of the box. In my Blue Lions run, Dimitri was really strong right away, but he was definitely... he wasn't mind-blowingly strong. Edelgard feels like she's playing on normal difficulty, whereas everybody else is playing on her. Like, she doubles everybody. She one-rounds enemies. They can't really hurt her. And everybody else in my team cannot do any damage unless I use a combat art. Edelgard is so skin strong. I don't know if I got lucky with my first couple of level ups. I think that they were fairly good, but she is just an unbelievable powerhouse. And because she's that good, I'm more excited to play her path now. Because as you know, I'm not an Edelgard fan. I think that she is unquestionably the villain of the game. I know Todd disagrees with me on that.
I do.
But when she says that my path is one that is covered in blood, and quote, "I am a ruler who will sacrifice my citizens for a greater goal." That's just like total bad guy talk. And Edelgard is super evil, but she's super misguided, in my opinion. So I'm not looking forward to fighting my beloved blue lions and golden deer and church units. That being said, this game is just so good. We're going to be talking about our game of the decade at the end of the show, and like, honestly, as we're recording this, I'm not sure what I'm going to pick still. And Fire Emblem is like, it's one of the three games I've narrowed it down to, especially after the added maddening mode that really fixed the biggest flaw of the game. It is, it's just so good to play. It's so smooth. I love customizing the units. Unbelievable game.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for you to see the ending, because you're going to see just how wrong you are about Edelgard.
I mean, I am sure that there's a lot I will see, because I was blown away by how much I didn't know in the Blue Lion's path. And that made me love Dimitri even more than I love Claude, who, of course, I love. But yeah, so maybe Edelgard will be a similar thing. I really like her character. I think she's super well written. I just find her... I would classify her as a villain, and maybe actually definitely the best villain Fire Emblem has ever made.
Mackie and Ashnard.
Ashnard's great, but he's very one note. He is an angry evil guy the whole game, and like, he's cool. I like him a lot, but I would say the Black Knight is definitely a better villain than.
I gotta agree with you. I believe Zelgius is actually pretty awesome up there. Yeah.
All right. Well. We're going to get into, I'm not going to do the sound effect, but we're going to go right into some news, because there are two pieces we need to talk about. What? Oh.
Nice.
Will you try?
It's me, Paper Mario.
That's really not good.
I know. Let's see, it'll be like, dum, 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 or something like that. I've never tried to do the pipe sound effect on my own, sue me. Anyway, there's two things we want to talk about. First off, Atlus has confirmed that Shin Megami Tensei 5 is still in production. You know, that game we heard about like 3 years ago, and we're still waiting on anything outside of that reveal trailer that we got 3 years ago. Yeah, they're still making it. You're welcome.
It's comforting that we got some lifeline that... Yeah. Don't worry, we have not forgotten it. It is still in development. Yes, but when? When, Atlas? Like, we're heading to the new decade. You better show something in return. You better, because we're losing faith.
Will, you might know this. Does the team that made Persona also make Shin Megami Tensei?
No. Because, there are some, like, similarities. Like, I'm pretty sure that they have some members that work on both games, the Persona series and the Megami Tensei, because remember, Persona is a spin-off of the Megami Tensei series. So that's... I wouldn't be surprised if they interchange it, so, but again, it's kind of like one and the same, so I can't really say it for sure.
Okay, yeah, because I was thinking maybe with all this Persona 5 Royal and the Scramble, like all that, their development... I know Atlus is huge, but their development team may be stretched thin...
I wouldn't be surprised, because again, remember, well, they also had to work with Persona 5 Scramble. I mean, I'm pretty sure also Koei Tecmo is working on the game as well, but maybe they had to also collab with the main Atlus teams. So they are currently working on two games, so maybe they're just putting on Megami Tensei 5 as a back burner while like leaving a skeleton crew to work on it. So maybe that's the reason for the delay. Who knows?
Koei Tecmo is like quietly a hero of the Switch era. Like, they did Warriors, Fire Emblem Warriors, and now they're doing Scramble, and the engine for Warriors was used in Three Houses. So Koei Tecmo's got there.
Yes,
And, like, some of the biggest games of the Switch.
Mm-mm. Right, they have worked it on Three Houses. Yes, the engine, is very reminiscent of the Fire Emblem Warriors game, so yeah, that's true.
And Nintendo said without Koei Tecmo, the game would not have come out as quickly as it did, so... You should be grateful for that. Anyway, alright, so yes, that game that Will is still waiting on is still coming, so good job there, Will. But the real piece of news, actually perfectly tying in with the year that was, 2019, is Nintendo has released the top 20 Most Nintendo games. Yes, the most Nintendo games of 2019. No, it's the most downloaded games of 2019. Actually, it's 25 games. Very impressive. So these are the most digitally downloaded titles via the eShop. And there are some surprises in here, so I'm just going to rattle off the list. So here we go. Number one, Fortnite. Not really a surprise there. Number two, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yay.
Yeah, not a surprise there. Number three, Minecraft. Still not a surprise. Mm. Number four, Cuphead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number five, Untitled Beaker Game. I mean, Goose Game.
Yeah, it's really surprising.
Number six, Pokemon Sword. Just Sword. Gotta be made that clear. Number seven, Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yeah.
Number eight, NBA 2K19.
What?
I know. Number nine, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
Mm-mm.
Number ten, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Ah.
Number 11, Pokemon Shield.
That's crazy, that drop crazy. Off. That was not a question to me which one I wanted more, because just based on the legendaries, but that's got to be abnormal.
I bet. Number 12, Super Mario Maker 2. Number 13, Overcooked 2.
Mm-hmm.
Number 14, Hollow Knight. Number 15, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. Number 16, Luigi's Mansion 3.
Okay.
Number 17, Cadence of Hyrule.
I'm glad that game did well.
Number 8, Super Mario Party. Number 19, this might be the biggest shock. Number 19, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Don't know how that works. The game's not supposed to be out till next year.
What?
But...
No.
Are you talking about the original game? Yes.
It's the original.
Yes, okay.
But still, that's surprising. Number 20, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
Okay.
Number 21, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Mm-hmm.
22, Undertale. 23, Crypt of the NecroDancer. Number 24, Warframe.
Ooh.
Yeah. And number 25, Mortal Kombat 11.
Wow, Mortal Kombat 11. How about that?
Wow.
Nobody listened to this podcast when I went on a rant about that game. That's what that tells me, because not a great burden.
I remember.
It's the opposite, because that means, because if they didn't listen to you, it would have been higher.
I guess, yeah. I'm disappointed that Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair isn't on that list, because that game is amazing.
I just, there's some very surprising games on this list, like how Untitled Goose Game did better digitally than Pokemon Sword, or Dragon Ball FighterZ, which came out last year, is in the top 10.
Was that last year? I think it came out in January.
I think it was like early in the year.
Out in January of this year. I'm like 80% confident.
Okay, we'll look
it up. Oh, no, you might be right. It may have come out in September of 2018.
Yeah, pretty sure I was right, but we'll see. Okay, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Switch.
I think you're right.
I know I'm right, but I want to prove you wrong definitively.
Hey, listen, I've already conceded that my first gut instinct was probably wrong.
Because it was a big deal when they announced it, because they announced it alongside Fortnite and certain other things, and they released it later that year.
Yeah, I remember it filling in a gap in September. But then again, I also kind of think January. But maybe it came out originally in January for the other systems.
It came out in like January, February 2018 for the other systems, and then it came out much later for the Switch. But I'm still trying to find the date. But it doesn't matter. But still, like, that's a game from 2018 doing amazing in 2019 on the last system basically that it came out on. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
and then you add in all the indie games like Untitled Goose Game, like Crypt of the NecroDancer, Cadence of Hyrule, and Hollow Knight, and Cuphead, and it's just amazing. All these titles, Overcooked, you know, Final Fantasy. Oh wait, that's not an indie game. You know, and on. It's just so interesting to see. Oh, here we go, September 27th, 2018. You're welcome.
Okay. It originally came out in January 26, 2018 for the other consoles. That's why I was confused.
That's why I am the host. Anyway, so Very interesting list. I mean, and again, the fact that there was such a discrepancy between Sword and Shield, or how some of the other games like ranked really lowly, even though they were very anticipated, like say Link's Awakening, I thought that would have been higher, especially since we know that it sold over 3 million copies. But that also leads to the disparity of physical versus digital.
Right.
Which, yeah, because you say like, oh, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, yeah, that's number two, and it should be, but how many... We don't know just how many were actually digitally downloaded here. Fortnite's the anomaly, because Fortnite's meant to be downloaded for free, and you could have had like 2 million people in 2019 download it and still be like a million above everybody else.
Right, right. So an Untitled Goose Game didn't have a physical release either. Like, a lot of those popular indie games get physical releases. I don't know how well they do. Usually they're like limited time runs, but I'm sure at some level that cuts into it. I don't think Untitled Goose Game has a physical version for Switch.
I don't think it does either.
But that game is like an unbelievable hit. My older brother's fiance, her sister is like not a big gamer, and they were playing it all Christmas. They kept sending us videos of it. Like, that game is a massive hit amongst... I'm surprised it reached a casual audience like at that level. It's crazy.
Yep, and again, like, Untitled Goose Game, a very original title. Again, it's just the fact that it became such a meme machine throughout the internet and public. It's just like, just the fact that you're playing as a goose being an entire jerk to a town is absolute comedy. It's a comedy game right there, and I think that's kind of what people appreciate about Untitled Goose Game. It's simple, fun, and just, again, you can play as a goose. It's just honking.
And that's why it was on the Game Awards like it was, because it was such a massive hit, and it won Best Indie Game. So there you go. And it's just fascinating, you know, going from year to year, seeing all the titles that are on there, because, you know, some of these make sense, you know, even like the longer standing ones, like say Super Mario Party, which was very much a surprise hit with given the previous state of the Mario Party titles. But then you have like Warframe, which has been on multiple systems before it came to Switch. Then it came to Switch and did really well. Or Undertale, still selling like crazy. Or Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, like, that was a very big hit apparently. So very curious, very, very curious. It's gonna be very interesting to compare this list to 2020's and see what's all there, even though of course we don't know everything that's coming out in 2020. So, we shall see. All right, so how about we do our draft recap now?
Draft recap.
Okay, so of course next week we'll be having our fourth annual Nintendo draft, and we will be bringing back actually the guy who was with us on the 2019 draft with Captain Toad Taylor.
Shout out.
So we expect him to arrive next week for the next draft. So be prepared, Commissioner. We're going to need you to keep things ruly, or, you know, don't.
Yeah, this is my favorite time of the year, when I get to be the host for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I let you have power just to keep you in line. All right, so the reason we're bringing this up, because every year we do the draft to start the year, to tell you what we think Nintendo needs to do to have a successful year. Not in terms of sales per se, but in regards to how they need to address themselves, adhere themselves to the fans and beyond. So, and then at the end of the year, we look back and see how well we predicted things and whether Nintendo actually did well. So we'll go this pick by pick, starting with my picks. Well, actually, my first pick. We'll do this in order like the draft. My first pick was Fire Emblem Three Houses has to be as close to a masterpiece as possible. And I was correct. Without a doubt. Because I can back that up by our own review score. Tyler is continuing to play it. Will, okay, never mind that. And, of course, it being nominated and or selected for Game of the Year by multiple websites, not just our own. So, including comicbook.com apparently calling it the game of the year. So good on them, comicbook.com.
No, they're totally right. No, yeah. So you were right. Like, Fire Emblem Three Houses was a total hit and it sold super well. But the goal of the draft is to pick, to say what we think Nintendo needs to do to have a crazy successful year. And yes. Fire Emblem was absolutely very successful. But what was it on the top selling games of the year for Nintendo? I mean, I think it was in the top 10.
Seven.
But it sold like 3 million copies.
Which
is less than we thought.
Okay, but hold on. You're thinking this in the wrong context, all right? The reason that it needed to be a near masterpiece was because it had to appeal to the console market and not just the handheld loyalists who had bought Awakening and Fates. And to that end, it totally succeeded. It is the best-selling Fire Emblem game ever.
Yeah.
And because of the hype, there is no doubt that when they make the next Fire Emblem game, which they totally will, and possibly even for the Switch, depending on how soon they work on it, they are going to get, no doubt, even more sales because of how amazing Three Houses was. So that's how I know I'm right, because they needed it to be good to justify it being on console again for the first time since the Wii with Radiant Dawn, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, yeah. No, so I agree, and I think that that's definitely a it was a very good – it was very important in Nintendo having a great year. But I would say as far as first overall picks go, you know, it's like – it's like a Ben Simmons level, and I love Ben Simmons. That's the thing, you know. Like Ben Simmons, first overall pick, great, but has he lived up to that first overall pick billing? Some would say yes, some would say no.
Oh, like you have room to talk with your number one pick. Yours was the most safe number one pick ever.
Yeah, and it was right. It was
no,
this
actually,
was this
it
was a great
kind
pick.
Of right.
This was a great pick.
Because I re-listened to you. Okay. For, anyway, check mark for the Todd. I win the first round. Tyler's first pick was, and I'm quoting here.
Yep.
They need to have a new Mario and or a new Zelda game.
Yes.
So
Great pick. I'm going to
give you 1.5 credits. That's right. I'm giving you over a credit.
I agree. Bonus.
Hold on. Because you were right, and yet you were wrong.
What the?
You were right that they did bring Mario and Zelda back to the Switch for this year. You were right that we did get a new Mario game in Super Mario Maker 2. However, Zelda Link's Awakening is not new. It was
a remake/remastering,
which is not a new Zelda title like you were hoping it was
going to be. You are twisting... You were not going by the spirit of what I was saying.
Oh really? And yet you just called my pick a Ben Simmons pick because
I love Ben Simmons. It was a good pick. Was it worthy of being the first thing? Now look at the sales numbers for Link's Awakening and Super Mario Maker 2. Those were two of the top selling games for the Switch this year. They pushed a lot of consoles. The Link's Awakening, as you said, helped the Switch Lite's launch. The Switch Lite and Link's Awakening were packaged quite frequently. That was a huge decision that led to what I would say is a very successful year for Nintendo. You give me 1.5 points. You're the host. I'm giving me 2 points.
No, that's because you're wrong. Because you said, and I know what you said, Tyler. I know what you said because I had
it
to re-listen.
It is a new game.
Shut up. I said I had to re-listen to the draft because I had to write down all the picks.
Of course.
And you said we needed to see a new Mario and a new Zelda game. It's not a new Zelda. It's a remake. The only thing that was new about it was the graphics, the slightly updated controls because technically it was a Game Boy title, and the dungeon crawler game, minigame, which everyone hated.
Listen, the dungeon game was stupid, but what I meant when I said that was they need to release a new, like, a game that is not a DLC for Breath of the Wild. Like, I meant they need to come out with a Zelda game this year. Yes.
Tyler,
yes.
That name is Excuse. Because you literally said, and I re-listened to the draft, you said that, you know, you didn't want to be DLC, but you said they have so much content that they could totally craft a brand new Zelda title.
Right.
You did not say a remaster title, which is exactly what this was. So you get
they
a
1.5
credit,
Todd. They
and that's
built
all
this
I'm
from
giving
the ground
you.
Up.
The devil's in the details. The devil's in the details.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You decide for yourself. Audience member,
hey,
but I think we
glad,
all know.
Be glad I'm giving you 1.5, not just one. I could have been like, oh, you were kind of right, but not fully, so I'm just going to give you a partial credit. No, I gave you the credit and a partial extra.
So what did you give yourself?
I'm being benevolent. And
did you give yourself one?
What?
What did you count your Fire Emblem pick? Was that a one-pointer?
That's one. It was a perfect
100%. Okay,
you
so I'm at 1.5.
Yes.
That, you know what? I'll settle for it. I'm fine with it. I'll take the 1.5 and go not quietly, but I'll lay down my sword.
All right. Will's first pick, and this is going to be the start of the debates, and this is like an honest debate here.
Mm-hmm.
His first pick was better online service.
Oh.
So here's the question. There's little doubt that with Ultimate especially, there was good internet. or at least good enough internet, right?
Right, serviceable at least.
But the question is,
and they improved
better.
It.
And the question is not just for one game, but for all games.
Right.
And of course, not just the connectivity, but like Nintendo Switch Online with their games, with their releases. Mm-hmm. So let's ask ourselves, was Nintendo Switch Online better in 2019?
So I'm going to say for Will, like this was a really good pick. Like he had the spirit of it right. I don't think Nintendo delivered. And I will point to Pokemon Sword and Shield particularly as a huge negative for the online. I mean, that there's never been a worse online. They took like three steps backwards for seemingly no reason. It's unbelievable how bad that game's online is. And that was their biggest release of the year. So for me, this is a definite no.
Like for me, like just reviewing all over, yes, like in regards to like if we're talking games performances, like in Pokemon, yeah, obviously that's kind of like the game that's like it was really bad, like stuttering, poppins, it just like it was not flowing, it was not flowing at all. So obviously Pokemon was horrible. Then you have like, encounter with like I don't know, like Tetris 99, yes, different game, but the gameplay itself was just absolutely excellent, no problems with it whatsoever. So like Tetris 99 could be like the game that's perfect online service for like, an online service. And then of course you could also count with the free game that comes out every like 4 months. And again, we have Star Fox 2 now on the Nintendo SNES online service. So again, it's really kind of a really half and half debate, really. Like you want to like put the Nintendo online service as like going to performance of their existing games, like with Pokemon Sword Shield, Tetris 99, or Smash Brothers, or do you want to like ask them like focus on the part of like the discounts, the free games? Yeah, they didn't even talk about like what if there's gonna be like a discount service with the online service. Yeah, now think about it. So it really is kind of like that half debate there. I agree.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to weigh in on this because I can honestly say that outside of Smash Brothers and the occasional Splatoon, I honestly don't have a lot of internet games that I've needed to play on, you know, the Switch. And, you know, maybe that's okay, maybe it's not, I don't know. But it doesn't feel like they've really improved. I mean, they've added some new games and, you know, some of the games they have added are honestly good. They've been teasing a lot more. But it's nowhere compared to where they were with the Virtual Console
and some of the other things.
So...
Yes, but is it that much better? No. Maybe a 0.5 here.
It's a smidge. It's definitely a smidge. It's just like they're taking their time in doing with the service. They're taking their time.
So I'm gonna have to not count that as a win. Sorry, Will. All right, moving on to Captain Toad's first pick. He had strong E3 showing. And though I don't exactly remember everything, I do recall that we were at least pleased with Nintendo showing, not the least of which was because of the Hero and Banjo-Kazooie reveal for Smash Brothers. And, of course, we had some other announcements like release dates and various other things that kind of escape me right now. But I remember the E3 being strong. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, the E3 was pretty strong, and we had the Animal Crossing delay, which didn't really matter to us. The Zelda sequel was obviously huge, very exciting.
Yes,
kind of stealing the show along with Banjo. The Luigi's Mansion we saw looked a lot better than it did when they showed it off in the September Direct previously. But I believe we had the Pope. Now, I'm not 100% sure on the timing of this, but I am 90% sure that the Pokemon Dexit thing broke at E3, which was a huge negative. That's just tough. This was a really good E3. I don't know if it was unbelievable. Did they announce Link's Awakening then, too? I think
That was Nintendo Direct earlier in the year. I think they might have announced the release date, but that's about it.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. It was a good E3. It wasn't an unbelievable E3, and I wouldn't say that it drove the year forward for Nintendo. So I'm lukewarm on this one. I will defer to the host here.
I say give it to him because, again, we got two major DLC announcements for Smash Brothers. We got Breath of the Wild 2, which no one was expecting to happen like it did. We got, you know, certain other announcements that are just escaping me right now. But it was, I think it was good.
There was that weird game. I don't know why I remember this one. There was a weird game with a cutscene with like the witch, like staring over, standing over like the cauldron. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the name of that. It was a really odd. There were some really good games, and then there were some like Contra was announced there.
Oh, Contra.
But I think we all thought, and I know, I definitely thought Nintendo won E3 this year. So yeah, I agree.
I feel like they began with it. They began with a good strong with Banjo. Ended off with Breath of the Wild 2, and of course, like had some good things to fill out the void. I mean, it could. They also showed off the trailer for No More Heroes 3, which nobody expected. That
there
so
you go.
I'm personally I'm happy with that.
So that's already in Will's mind.
I mean, personally, for me, yeah. Like obviously, it's not like Metro Prime 4 big, but I feel like it did a solid performance. So I say it had a good solid performance in E3. So I probably agree with the pick.
Yeah. So the score right now is me 1, Tyler 1.5, Will nothing, and Taylor 1. All right. Moving on. Round 2. I said the 3DS has to die. And even though Nintendo isn't really admitting it, they've said multiple things. They've said that they're not making any more first party games for the 3DS. Thank God. But they said that there are still 3DS games coming. Which means third party, which means ports or really very rare exclusive titles. I bet you'd be more Japan games than anything else. That's just my opinion on the region.
Yeah, I mean, you don't hear anything about this. This is a definite yes, and I would say it helped them have a more successful year.
Yes, because they focus more on the Switch, and they're combining already working on what's coming next. And there were, to my knowledge, there were no real first party releases for the 3DS this year, and if there was, it was so under radar that we didn't even hear about it.
No, yeah, I mean, when did they release the Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story? Was that October of 2018? I think it was.
I don't remember.
And that obviously was like the end of Alpha Dream, which is very sad. Rest in peace.
So yeah, definitely a win. All right, debate time. You ready for this?
I mean, mine are always the ones that we debate, and I find that interesting.
Whoa, that's not fair. I said the first debate was Will's with better online service.
Yeah, that's true. But I forced the debate. It's actually totally fair, because I forced the
discussion. Watch your mouth. That's why I'm the host. You make rash judgments. Anyway, Tyler said we needed a bunch of third-party exclusives.
Okay.
But good how answer, many did answer. We really get this year? We had Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Deck.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What were the others?
Well, Astral Chain.
Astral Chain? I'll give you that,
that was
one.
Platinum.
That was a high seller.
Wait, was it a high seller?
Yeah, that sold really well.
I think decently enough.
I know it was top in charts in at least the first week it came out.
Look it up, Will, while Tyler's talking.
Let's see. Other. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not gonna say that this was a slam dunk. Marvel Ultimate Alliance was definitely good. That was a nice get. We got the announcement of Bravely Default 2. That is good. We didn't get that this year.
Nope.
It certainly was not. There was nothing as great as Octopath Traveler this year. So, I mean, I'm okay with either a 0 or a 0.5 here, but I don't deserve a point.
Will, what say you?
Like on the third party side, it feels like there was some presence, it's just not as prevalent. I mean, you get Astral Chain, and there's also like things in the middle, including like with the horrible Contra as well that came for the Switch. A lot of like indie party stuff, sure, but third party, it's kind of a bit on the weaker side, if you ask me.
I mean, NBA 2K did hit the charts.
You could also say that about Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat hit the charts. I mean, there are some games that were there. I don't think this is a zero. There's been many worse years for Nintendo and third-party support.
But the question was third-party support or third-party exclusives?
Okay, third-party exclusives, then, and that's tough. I mean, we did get two very good games.
I will give you, as my benevolent hosting powers allow me to, I will give you a 0.5. Because Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 was good, despite what Diego says, and Astral Chain was a very beloved title, including getting nominated for various awards at the Game Awards show. So,
And
but
yeah, I got the details now. And yeah, the last thing we heard about the sales of Astral Chain is that it was number one on the UK physical charts and on the Japanese, and number two on the Japanese physical charts. And the game currently sold 46,000 physical copies within the first 3 weeks of sales in Japan. So maybe the numbers are a bit up more after
Look
that.
it up on Wikipedia. They usually have a sales
That's
thing.
what I'm looking at right now, yeah.
Oh. Then yeah, then clearly it didn't sell well enough. But whatever. I will give you the 0.5
All right,
Tyler.
I'll take a 0.5.
But I will say that if we do have anyone say third party exclusives, we're gonna ask for a number of exclusives we expect in the year to be successful.
That's fair.
Because it can't just be, you know, two. Two is not really a lot, especially since they actually came out within a month of each other, give or take, July and August. So, all right, next up, Will. Okay, this is another debate. Don't shy away from the M-rated games. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is a couple fold. One, we obviously had Mortal Kombat on the Switch, even if it wasn't as graphically beautiful. We know that No More Heroes is coming, and that crazy trailer from the Game Awards was so we definitely have had M-rated games, but was it enough? Will, defend yourself.
Like it definitely. I feel like Nintendo has definitely stepped more a little bit into like the more mature oriented fan base as well. Because like one, of course, we talk about Astral Chain. Even the fact they brought in The Witcher 3 into the Switch, and Witcher 3, of course, with the
All
popularity
right,
of the
Witcher,
Netflix
yeah.
show, is they brought The Witcher to the Switch. They ported it very well. I mean, of course, Sacrifice of Claw, but they also brought that. And of course, might I need to remind you of a certain Seren Kagura franchise that
Oh,
people
gosh.
hear?
No,
Okay,
I wish I
so,
wouldn't
no,
remind
that's
us,
a
Will.
zero for Will.
Hey, Peach Beach. Yeah, Peach Beach, that pinball game which I reviewed on the site. So, I don't know. Like, they definitely have. It's a niche thing, for sure, no doubt about it. But again, with Mortal Kombat, Astral Chain, and heck, Witcher, I feel like they're doing some strides. I mean, progress-wise, maybe not as much, but I feel like they have done some progress.
This is a yes for me because Diablo 3, and
Oh,
is Overwatch
Diablo?
rated M?
Yeah, Diablo. What was the question?
Is Overwatch rated M?
No, that's T.
Oh, that's T.
T?
That's T.
Okay, yeah,
That's
I think
T.
that's a
That's
little
T.
too cartoony. But Mortal Kombat and Diablo and The Witcher,
Yeah.
those are three pretty big games.
Plus No More Heroes, which I will
Plus No More
count because they
Heroes.
announced it.
And then
It's
they did
coming.
the
That's coming.
Wolfenstein
Oh,
DLC in the summer.
Wolfenstein. Okay,
Actually,
yeah.
they might have launched the game in the summer. 2018 summer and 2019 summer are
Yeah, they
blurring together.
blurs. But just for that, I'm gonna give you the point, Will, because you're
Yeah.
right there. There was at least three, four, five games that were M-rated that came to Switch, either port or exclusive. So you get a point. You get a point, Will. You get a point. All right. Okay, this one is not a debate. This is a definitive no because Tyler was like, "I know they said they weren't gonna do it, but I'm hoping they bring the N64 Classic."
Oh yeah, that did not happen. That's a good pick, though. I mean, in the spirit of the draft, I agree. If they launched that would have been very successful come the holiday season. But they didn't.
Did not.
Maybe next year.
Maybe.
But that's a no.
That's a no. All right. Final round. I will admit this one is a debate. I said that we needed to see new IPs.
Oh.
So here's what. Now I'm going to defend myself thusly. We had Little Town Hero. We had Deus Ex Machina. We had technically Yoshi's Crafted World, which
No,
was.
no, no,
Hold on, hold
no.
on, hold on, hold on. I said that this was not just about new IP games, but about creating a franchise. And Crafted World is the sequel to Woolly World, which thus makes it a franchise.
Come on, you know
That.
that's
No.
flimsy.
No,
In
it's
the
not. I.
Yoshi franchise, those fall into the Yoshi
No,
franchise.
it's different. Just like there's different Mario games, just like there's different Zelda games. It's not just under one banner. There's the 2D and 3D
No, they're
Zeldas. There's
all
the 2D
2D
and 3D Marios.
platformers. That's just like an art design choice.
But that's no. But it's different than that, and you know it. Just
No,
like
it's
this,
not.
Crafted World does not play like Yoshi's Island, and that's the
It plays
truth.
a lot like Yoshi's Island. It's just like no two Mario games play
Okay,
exactly the same.
fine. But I had Daemon X Machina. I had Little Town Hero. I had Astral Chain. All
Okay.
right. So that's three, and I'm sure if I looked it up, I would see something else.
So I will give you Astral Chain. I will give you. But in the spirit of Nintendo having a successful year, Little Town Hero was not successful, and neither was Daemon X Machina. And like, as we Daemon can see, Astral Chain was in the middle. Like, it wasn't super successful, but it wasn't a flop either. So I'm a no on this one.
Oh, of course you are.
Like Daemon X Machina, unfortunately, like it didn't do as well, unfortunately, with a lack of advertisement and marketing. But it did like got some, still had some support afterwards with the DLCs and all that. So Daemon X Machina didn't really do well, but at least it had some, had more of a niche following. Everything else is like, it decent enough, but not as like what we expected to see. So
yeah. I'm around like happier. This wasn't about sales success. I noted in the draft that I needed to see the beginning of potential new franchises. And while it's true that sales do factor into that, it's not always the end-all be-all, as we've seen with certain Nintendo franchises in the past, aka Fire Emblem.
That's a great point. That's a really good point.
And while it's true that Little Town Hero, which I technically beat, if you forgot.
You didn't beat that. You never beat the game.
I totally beat it by losing
to the final boss. And
I didn't
being
lose
stuck.
To the boss. I got trapped in the final boss.
That
totally
sounds
different.
Like
technically.
It.
Technically.
Are you on his side on this, Will? This is the most backwards argument I've ever heard.
Anyway, the point here is that Nintendo needed to try new things. And it's easy for us to look at the success of ARMS or even Splatoon and say, oh yeah, that's how you make new IPs. But sometimes you just gotta try. And they had at least three new franchises, two of them technically from third parties, with Platinum and Marvelous. So they're inspiring more people to try. And yeah, some of them will work and some of them won't. But they brought them and they were in the same year.
To create a franchise, as you said, the games have to be good. And Little Town Hero got really bad reviews.
Okay,
and Daemon X Machina got mixed reviews.
Yeah, well, and so did Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and yet that sells.
Yeah, I'm not talking about sales exclusively. This was not a great year for new IPs for Nintendo. Now, I will say, you've sold me up to a half point.
I'll take a half point.
I think
that's fair, because you're right.
They tried, and that set the seeds. But I do wonder what Pokemon, I doubt that Little Town Hero development time factored into the final Pokemon product.
It didn't.
But if it did, like that would be disappointing.
They didn't. They've said multiple times that the Pokemon team is very closed off and inclusive. They don't honestly have a lot of people working on it versus what the time that they did for Little Town Hero. Okay? And I'm tired of people saying the Little Town Hero just should have gone into Pokemon time. It was two different teams. So yeah, so stop that. I will accept the half point because while it's true we did have new IPs, they weren't exactly successful, and it's questionable whether some of them outside of Astral Chain, because I could see Platinum doing it if they wanted, being sequels and franchises, but we will have to see. So I will take my half a point. All right. So Tyler, you are really going to have to convince me on this one because your final one was Improved eShop Collection. And you can't just say, oh, well, we totally win because, you know, we had a whole bunch of new games. That wasn't the question. The question wasn't new games. It was about an improved collection, as in older games, as in the games that you wanted to see via Nintendo Switch Online and certain other things. So try and defend yourself.
So, I mean, we did get an improved eShop collection in that the Nintendo Switch Online with the Super Nintendo Classic game or the Super Nintendo games coming out. Like, yes, it's a more robust catalog. And I probably should have listened back to the draft because I don't really even remember picking that. Now, if it was the idea that they needed to bring back more of their old games, then no, I would say that's a no, like that for sure. But that being said, the eShop is better organized now than it used to be, which was, I think, something that was really important. There are frequent sales on the eShop, which is nice. The eShop games it was a pretty good year for indie games and downloadable titles, so I will say that. But if I was talking about getting old Nintendo games back, then yeah, that's a no. Yeah, then that's a no. Then that's a no. I hate to say it, but it didn't happen.
Okay, that's enough. All right, now up to Will's third and final pick. Will, I am happy to say that you selected JRPGs. And you were correct, sir. Yay!
It's really not surprising again with how Three Houses did, especially when we can customize that up to the points.
No. I'm not even talking three houses. I'm talking beyond. Because Nintendo, just this year, between releases and announcements, have talked about a slew of JRPGs, such as Bravely Default 2, such as
Trials of Mana.
Yeah, Trials of Mana. And then the various Saga games that are coming out next year. And Final Fantasy had some new, like, six new titles coming out on
Final
Switch
7
this
and
year.
8. Yeah, Final Fantasy
there you
7
go.
And 8.
And we still got Crystal Chronicles coming, even though that's delayed. So so you add all that together, and you've got a very impressive JRPG lineup. So you get a point.
Fire Emblem definitely takes the headline for Nintendo having a successful year through JRPGs, because I mean that was an unbelievable seller.
Wouldn't we consider Pokemon
point.
JRPG though?
Pokemon's a JRPG.
Yeah,
check.
So.
That's
technically yes.
Yeah, no, that definitely counts. It definitely counts. That was a good pick, and that was a good value because both of those games were critical to Nintendo's overall year.
Agreed. So point for Will. So, and then finally, there was Captain Toad Taylor's with Keep the Stock Coming.
Yes, that was a yes. And that was a great pick because we did not hear any. I didn't know what you meant for a half second. Like, we had no issues with stocking games. There was borderline. In Pokemon, that was easily available, even though it was immensely popular. Same for Fire Emblem. They did a good job. Mario, of course, Zelda. There was no shortage of stock this year.
So, yeah, and I agree. That was a worry we had, especially in the early days of Switch. We heard nothing of it. And even with the Nintendo Switch Lite, we didn't hear a thing about, you know, short sales or, you know, having to wait on shipping and all that. So clearly they're fine. Obviously they've been selling like hotcakes. What was the last numbers on the Switch sales? Do we remember?
I don't remember. I think for some reason 41 is what I think we're at right now.
Someone look it up. Anyway, so let's do a tally. Captain Toad had 2 with E3 and Keep the Stock Coming. Will had 2 with M-rated games and JRPGs. Tyler had 2 with Mario, Zelda, and I gave him a half a point on third-party exclusives. And, I had 2.5. Oh my gosh, with my Fire Emblem Masterpiece, my 3DS Death, and the half a point of new IPs. I won!
I mean...
It's almost as if I pulled up an upset because someone's been proclaiming for weeks that they had won the draft, and I just stole that from them.
So, here's the thing. The system that you are using to grade the draft is deeply flawed. I point out one more time, we're not predicting what we think will happen. We're predicting what we think Nintendo needs to do to be successful. We're like in the boardroom, you know, saying, hey, Nintendo, this is what you got to do to have a successful year. Uh-huh. And I would say that by far the biggest key was the Mario and Zelda. I mean, the Zelda driving Switch Lite sales is very, very important to Nintendo's overall year. The Switch Lite was not a massive hit, but had it not launched alongside Link's Awakening, I think it would have been a total flop instead of what it is, which is just a moderate success. So you know what? I still think I won, despite the scoring system that we are using, which I disagree with fundamentally.
If you disagree with it, then I should just dock you from 1.5 to 1.
And because... I also would like to point out that the fact that I only got 1.5 points for the Mario and Zelda, released and they were both the top-selling games
that
of
was,
the year,
that was, we just
was
said,
a
you just
criminal...
said this was about... sales. It was about impact overall, and
right,
you,
but that's what they were
you
the most...
said that you needed a new Zelda game, not a remaster.
You are not going by the spirit of what I was saying,
oh,
and
the,
instead
the spirit.
Are
well,
trying to
that
make
case,
loophole
well,
to
well,
justify
that case, Tyler,
your twisted
allow to,
mind.
Allow me to amend the scores. You will now have a 2.5.
Oh, that sounds
I
good.
will give you a 2.5 for the half point for the eShop collection because you were right that overall the eShop did improve in terms of its use, in terms of the sales of indie games, and more. But then by that token, I now have a perfect 3 of IPs. So I still win.
No. You
are
welcome.
Key,
so those IPs weren't successful.
That's not
so
the question.
I think we were nice to give you a 1 for that. I think we
no,
were
you
nice
didn't
to give
me a
you
1. You gave me a 0.5.
I think we were nice to give you a 0.5 for that.
Now you just said you wanted to give me a 1. So I'll take that anyway. So I get
I don't
3.
Want to give you a 1.
It's a 3. I win. It's so sad that you're still in denial, Tyler. Hey, what did he think about that Love Money Splatfest? I can't recall.
Listen, I was validated in that Nintendo amended the system of how they scored Splatfest to be more transparent because that one they cheated and everybody knew it. And my
investigation brought
upon major worldwide change.
Uh-huh.
The last thing I can see on Switch sales, I don't know why this is, but it's July 30.
No, you need the one for September.
I know, I'm looking for it, but I can't find it. But I think that 41 sounds right because it was.
I'll look at it. I'm sure I wrote it down somewhere or on the website, but whatever. Because I thought they were like either close to 50 or really close, because they sold like almost 1 million just in the Thanksgiving days, so they've really got to be close to 50 or whatever.
I'm right, they're at as of October 40.7, but that's not counting Black Friday, so they are probably at 45 right now.
I agree. I think that's all right. So as we move on from my victory, I should do this Invader Zim. I should do this Invader Zim style. Behold my victory! Ah. Oh look! It's the host of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, the winner of the draft. Yes, it is I. Okay.
You know what? Next year I'm gonna grade the drafts.
You do that. You'll give us all zeros. At least I was being fair to you.
You know what? You were. I appreciate the bonus half point. I did. You know, I do deserve the 2 points, but I appreciated that you even offered the bonus. I did not expect that generosity from you.
Uh huh. Well, that's why I'm the host. I surprise constantly. All right. So now we are going to do our year in review, if you will, and talk about the best game of 2019 for Nintendo. This can be a first-party title or a third-party title. We've done that in the past. So, Tyler, as the runner-up of the draft, I will allow you to go first.
So, I would like to point out that Will also had 2 points in this backwards scoring system.
That's right.
I will accept the title of runner-up. Will, you're also runner-up. In my heart, me and Will are 1 and 2 because Will's JRPG pick, the value that he got late in the draft, was unmatched. It was the best pick of the draft besides my first pick.
Uh-huh.
But yes, so my game of the year, not surprising, it's Fire Emblem Three Houses, and it's not even close. It is one of the best games that I've ever played. The only thing that I wish that they improved upon is the graphics. Which for the most part are solid. The audio, the presentation is top notch despite the setback in graphics because the audio is so good. The voice acting is so good. You are sucked into the world of Garak Mach every time you turn on that game. Fodlan comes alive with these characters, with their compelling backstories, their great support conversations, the themes of the game, the way everything ties together in Three Houses. It's one of the most, it's underrated how satisfying playing all the paths is, because you can play an individual path, and I know Todd disagrees with this, but I feel if you played the Blue Lions route, yes, it would have been odd that you don't get to see Lady Rhea again after you beat the game, but Dimitri's story is concluded. You know, he gets redeemed, extends the arm, Edelgard, being the evil villain that she is, throws a knife into his chest, and it's a complete story. Story comes to an end. Golden Deer is the same thing. You could play each individual route and feel like you have a full story, but when you combine them all, that's when you see the true beauty and brilliance of the game. It's a game about loss. It's a game about time. It's a game about decisions and how they impact the people around you. I can't praise this game enough for its themes. And The overall gameplay is just, it's never been better. The customization of each unit, you can create your army however you want to. It is, a Fire Emblem game has never been this flexible. I suppose the only negative is the fact that they reuse too many maps. I wish there were more maps in the game.
I agree.
But that aside, it is immensely replayable, and it is immensely rewarding. And I just, it might be the best game Nintendo's released this decade. It's that good, and I know that I'm a fan, but the universal praise that it got should kind of let you know that it's more than just me who loves this game.
Like, for me this year, yeah, it's really not many choices for this year. It's really a clear pick, really, with three houses. I mean, honorable mention to Astral Chain, because, like, yeah, it was pretty much in the same month, and I, as if the Nintendo stats didn't show for most of us, like, we play most in August. It's really down to those two games. I mean, Astral Chain, as much fun as it is, Platinum Game does a lot of good work. It definitely has its problems, but I personally enjoyed it for what it offered. But yeah, really, it's just really down to three houses. It is just three houses, because even, like, for a guy who's a casual Fire Emblem fan myself, I just really just enjoyed the world of Garak Mok and the four rounds. And yeah, the characters, all the conversation links, just the story of warfare, including some pretty dark themes of war, racism, prejudice. It's just, it really sucks you in, the world of Garak Mok and Three Houses. Like, the subject matter, the gameplay itself, like, I mean, I played by my fair share of tactical RPGs before, like The Sky and all that. But yeah, going back into Fire Emblem series since, like, Fates and Awakening, it feels right, and just really is, like, very accessible to newcomers. The fact, like, also get, like, online stats to help you along the way, just in case you want to know who, like, what other players did on that separate week or so, it just feels like much more connected, especially like some of the online features as well. So yeah, it just really feels like there's really not many other choices aside from, like, I don't know, Super Mario Maker 2, Astral Chain, and the other games. Like, sure, but
Link's Awakening and Luigi's Mansion are great games. I mean, this was a good year for Nintendo.
It is, yeah. Luigi's Mansion 3, Link's Awakening, yeah, those two games are also very good on its own right. I mean, Luigi's Mansion 3 is also just so animated, which I gotta give props, because, like, even to the point that the Game Awards give it as the most family-friendly oriented game of the year. So yeah, I give props to Luigi's Mansion 3 as well. That thing I'll mention. But personally, for me, Fire Emblem Three Houses definitely takes the year. Just, it really suits, like, the main hardcore fan base that many Nintendo fans really wanted. And yeah, Three Houses definitely delivered, including with, like, everything from the DLCs, updates, and just continues to support it, which I'm very happy for. So yeah, for me, this year is definitely Three Houses.
All right, I'm going to go a little bit offbeat. I'm sure you'll appreciate this. My pick for best Switch game of 2019 is Untitled Goose Game. I'm kidding.
Good choice.
I'm kidding. I have not played it. I honestly have not. I'm gonna totally go Fire Emblem Three Houses also. Though it was a little bit closer, because I was actually blown away by how good Astral Chain was, and Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 was just total nerd awesomeness, you know. from the characters to the realms we went to. I mean, I still don't know how Diego gave it a 2.5. I just don't. I would have given it a 4.5 easily. But there were some good games. Of course, Link's Awakening finally beating a game after 26 years was a big victory for me. A total victory, not a technical one. A total undisputed victory that I have proof that I beat. So suck it, Tyler.
Listen, I'm proud of you. Listen. It took you 26 years.
It did.
But you got it done.
It did. I didn't know how to get to Turtle Rock. I just that's what held me back in 1993. I couldn't get to Turtle Rock, but I finally beat it. I got to the dang windfish. I finally set it free. I cried when Marin died. Spoilers. Is it really a spoiler if it's 26 years old?
No.
It's like spoiling Blade Runner or Star Wars. You have to know that Darth Vader is Luke's father. All right. Unless you're my friend Amy, in which she legitimately did not know, and she had, like, a major reaction on Twitter, and I'm just like, really? You don't know that Darth Vader is Luke's father?
I'm going to say that she was lying.
No, she wasn't. She honestly wasn't. I asked her about it. I'm just like, no, she's like, no, I wasn't lying. I've never seen Star Wars. I'm like,
Yeah,
okay.
but that's like, you just know that from culture. Like, you just,
You
that's
should.
something that you know.
Well, you should, but you know, it's a terrible thing. Well, it's just like Sherlock Holmes doesn't know that the Earth revolves around the sun because he just doesn't care. So if you really don't care about these kinds of things, like, I suppose you might not have heard about Star Wars. So,
but you've heard I Am Your Father before.
I don't know. You don't know. It depends on your social circles.
It's unbelievable.
The fact that it's referenced in pop culture for so long, I mean, heck, they even referenced it in Jimmy Neutron, of all things. So.
Yeah,
but
I'm,
I don't
a,
know.
I was, I'm a skeptic.
Neutron. I just don't. Anyway, get back to Fire Emblem. there were a lot of good games here, but Fire Emblem was the one I was most looking forward to. That's why it was my first round draft pick, my correctly chosen first round draft pick. And I was hoping, because we were honestly nervous for a time, because when we saw the first official trailer for Three Houses, we really didn't know what to expect. And then they did the E3 one, where they were showing off the 5 years later sequences, and then the actual gameplay via the treehouse. And we realized, like, yeah, this is actually going to be really, really cool. And then playing the game, playing it first as Dimitri, then Edelgard, and then Claude, and seeing the converging storylines come together, and seeing the depth and the beauty of the combat system just slightly tweaked to make it even better with things like the return of Milo's turn wheel via the Divine Pulse, and the non-weapons triangle, which was fine. And the demonic beasts and everything.
The amount of skill customizations that you have too. 5 slots with a personal skill. I mean, there's so many combinations that you can use to get the most out of every unit.
And you could change the units to whatever you want them to be as long as you train them enough. And the side missions and the use of the calendar. You know, there was just so many minor tweaks that it just made it beautiful. And while I'll agree that some of the graphics didn't look good, there were cutscenes that were absolutely astounding to behold, including certain ending cutscenes for certain party members, including one that Tyler has not seen yet. And
Dimitri's scene where he figures out that Edelgard is the Flame Emperor. It's one of the best cutscenes ever done.
It is.
Just the way that the voice actor, I think Chris Hackney is his name, displays the snap. It's unbelievable. It's spine tingling.
I believe the phrase is skull crushing.
So, is this some kind of twisted joke?
You can see like that moment where he just, that frame of when he snaps is just like,
but you know, seeing the different perspectives of the storyline, which was a very bold move. It was much more of an advanced move than what they did with Fates in regards to just the different storylines. And but then, of course, you can't have a Fire Emblem game without the characters. And it goes beyond, you know, Byleth and Edelgard, Claude, and Dimitri, or even Rhea. All your companions are different in every single house. You're not just playing with the Grail Mercenaries. You're not just playing with the shepherds and shuffling them around to, you know, try out one or two new members like I've done in numerous times with Path of Radiant, Radiant Dawn, Awakening, and so on and so forth. You have brand new teams. You can't play them the same way because they don't start out the same way. They have different abilities. They have different skills. They have different things that you need to train them to be. And, you know, you think, oh, maybe this is the way I want to train him. And then they ask you, hey, I want to be this. And you're like, you know, that sounds kind of cool. I never thought of you as this before. And then you shift them to that. I loved getting to know these characters. Dorothea, I still believe, is one of the best characters in the game because
He's
of
so
her,
good.
Her very profound. Because she looks one way. You think, oh, she's Manuela Light. You know, she's the diva. She's the girl that, you know, all the guys are trying to be with. And yet you dive into her deep backstory, and it's tragic. It's horrifying at times. And it's just like, you know, you poor woman. And then that's why I made sure in Edelgard's run, I married her. I was already betrothed to Mercedes.
Marrying Mercedes. Imagine.
I would never have an injury in my life, and I can live with that. But then when I did Black Eagles, like, there was no question that I had to be with Dorothea because I wanted to make her happy. And the more I learned about her, especially with her conversations with some of the Black Eagles characters, I knew that she was the right one to marry in this specific timeline. And, you know, even going beyond that, you know, Sylvain was hilarious, and Ingrid was so royal and yet awesome in her own right. And Hilda.
Felix,
Bernadetta.
There's so much depth, Catherine, that belies these characters.
Manuela. I mean, God bless Veronica Taylor. I hated Manuela when I first saw her because I'm like, did they really have to go this route in Fire Emblem? And then you hear, you know, Manuela talk and you hear her personality and everything, and it's just like, gosh dang it, I love her too. So, what are you going to do? But there's so many characters to love and enjoy. And
Ferdinand von Eyre.
I guess.
Eh.
Yes. And Ferdinand von Eyre is the best. I love characters that have, like, that seem like they don't have depth, and then they do. Like, and this game is filled with characters
that was
could
Felix
have
for me.
Been sorry.
That was Felix for me. He was a dick, and then it's just like, oh, there's a reason for that. Okay.
Yeah.
And him and Annette. Those two are adorable. I still don't know how they didn't get together, but anyway,
the blue lions are wonderfully fleshed out, as are the golden deer. I do think the black eagles are the most stiff bunch.
I would say that's golden deer at points, because
they're extremely colorful, and they're all deep.
I mean,
Raphael, yes, okay, so Raphael doesn't have a lot to him, and Ignatz doesn't have a lot to him.
There
but
you go.
And I would say those two are towards the bottom of the cast, but everybody else has shocking amounts of depth. Any of them could be main characters. I mean, you could easily plug any of them into a protagonist role and they would fit right in. Meanwhile, I think I like Petra a lot, but she's not a very deep character. And this, I mean, every character has little things to them, but
that's what makes them great, is that, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
I love
all the characters across all the houses. I just think that, like Linhart, he's a one trick pony. He's always Linhart. And the same for Petra. And I love Linhart. Same for
Caspar.
Ash. I think Ferdinand and Edelgard. And I really don't know too much about Hubert yet. But those are really good characters. But I do think, on the whole, the Black Eagles house is the most safe, I guess. They're the least interesting cast to me.
Anyway, but I loved every encounter that I had characters, and whenever I get around to playing the fourth storyline, even though I hear it's not entirely different or whatever, except for the ending, I still look forward to it, just because I really like this game. This is definitely a game I'm going to be playing a lot over the next however long, especially until we get the next first party major game, which I don't know what that would be for me, because I don't play Animal Crossing, so I never got into it. But I wanted so badly for this to be a success. I wanted so badly for this to be as close to a masterpiece as it needed to be. And I was so happy when it was everything I could have wanted and more. And again, if you didn't hear my podcast last week, my three most played days on the Nintendo Switch were the 3 days of Three Houses release and the 2 days after it. That shows how much I was enjoying this game, that I played it more Switch time in those 3 days than any other time the rest of the year, and I've played a lot of Switch games this year. All right. So, oh wait a minute. So we all picked Three Houses. That's almost ironic. Almost.
Yeah.
Almost as ironic as Will not being done with his first house yet. Oh.
I mean, again, there's really not much of a choice, honestly. Like, what else can really compete with Three Houses? Honestly,
Link's Awakening.
Yeah, Mario Maker 2 was an amazing game.
Mario Maker 2, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an evergreen. Yeah,
Link's Awakening was amazing. And
Luigi's Mansion 3 was super good. I mean, Pokemon is like a major game. It didn't make it for me, but I could see for a lot of people, Pokemon, the expectations for Pokemon are much higher than Fire Emblem.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the thing, is like, and it's important to note that these are just our opinions, you know? It's like, it's not unlike how the Game Awards didn't put Fire Emblem in best anything except for best strategy game, which is very specific, and yet they put Smash Brothers in, so that means that they clearly valued Smash Brothers over Fire Emblem, and yet other places like IGN or comicbook.com, they made sure that Fire Emblem was in there because to them it was the best, or one of the best games of the year, and so every opinion is different. And if one of us really wasn't a Fire Emblem fan and only played it because the others were getting it and they liked Pokemon more, they could have said Pokemon, or they could have said Luigi, or they could have said Astral Chain, or Link's Awakening, or Mortal Kombat. I don't know. No, probably not Mortal Kombat, but you never know. So there was 2019, as Tyler said, was a very good year. They needed a really strong year this year, and they really did pull it off, even with some, let's call them, auxiliary franchises leading the way, like Yoshi, like Luigi's Mansion, like Fire Emblem, technically. And even though they had a Mario Maker 2 and a Link's Awakening to and Pokemon to help anchor things, there were still a lot of other titles that, you know, helped along the way. That's why I'm a little worried about the state of 2020, because right now there just doesn't seem to be something right now to have that hook that we had going into 2019. So it's up to Nintendo to try and prove us wrong. All right, finally, and I guess somewhat quickly, the decade is ending. It is time to look back really quick and pick what we feel is the game of the decade. Be clear, we are going from 2011 to 2019. Okay, I guess
2010.
2010, yeah. So 2010 to 2019. So from that point, it could be on the Switch, it could be on the Wii U, it could be on the 3DS. And when did the DS come out or end?
DS years in there. 3DS came out in 2011.
Okay, so yeah, it can be a DS game, but it has to be specifically 2010. So it could be any of those systems. What was the game of the decade? Will, I'll start with you.
It's really a solid decade for Nintendo, especially with going to Wii U. It's really down to just three choices for me. One is either Breath of the Wild, because for obvious reasons, it's just like it broke a lot of traditions, broke the Zelda formula with its open world, just did so much things right with Breath of the Wild. That's one. Going back in the decade, it's the Odyssey, Galaxy games, 1 and 2, like, interchangeably. And
well, Galaxy 1 didn't come out in this decade, so Galaxy 2.
Yeah, okay, Galaxy 2. So, yeah, just that Galaxy 2 did so much more better, just improved upon the original Galaxy formula, and Galaxy was kind of the reason why I like to play video games in the first place. I captured that magic that Mario is known for. And I guess, not really surprising, well, just like jumping, like continuing on the formula, just mixing with a bit of Zelda and Mario, will be the Super Mario Odyssey. It's just, it did something so well and so right, going to just what Mario games should be. It's like, and of course, just that tribute to all things Mario in the details. Like, so much love was put into Super Mario Odyssey. It's just, it's hard to not say that had a great impact on Nintendo, honestly. So that's kind of the one thing I'm kind of like trying to wrap my head around, which one is had a significant impact in the decade. But if I do have to go and make a choice on the matter, I'm gonna have to go and go with my gut with many consensus. I'm gonna say with Breath of the Wild, I feel like. While Odyssey was a great game by itself, Zelda Breath of the Wild, it just feels right. The fact that, one, it did so much, it just broke away from the tradition of the typical Zelda formula of one dungeon, one, like, and then one item, all that. The fact that you can go anywhere, incorporate so many genres from the gaming industry into Zelda, like a little bit of Skyrim, a little bit of, like, I don't know, even Dark Souls, the point of difficult bosses to, like, it just feels so ingrained, so organic, just being in the world of, like, that broken Hyrule, like, from facing against Ganon, seeing all four tribes and the sacred beasts. Like, they weren't technically dungeons, but it feels right that Breath of the Wild is, like, the post-nature apocalypse, like, the broken of Hyrule, and then getting Zelda, just getting all the runes, like, from the magnet, from the time stops, all these weapons. I mean, I don't know, just exploring the world of Hyrule of Breath of the Wild just feels so right. The music, or lack thereof music, it just makes it feel like, yeah, you're there. The quiet, the tranquilness, and of course with Hateno Village and the side quests, just the myriad of side quests you can put in the game. It just feels like Nintendo stepped up their tradition. Like, they broke away from the old Zelda and then made it something new. And also learned it from the game industry to incorporate, makes Zelda fresh again.
You can't talk about Breath of the Wild without, I think, mentioning that it The game starts with Link being resurrected, and it feels as though that was the game that resurrected Nintendo in a lot of ways, where the Wii U was a major flop. The Wii lost momentum late in its life, and hardcore gamers were out on Nintendo. And then along comes Breath of the Wild, and it brings everyone back. I mean, it is borderline a perfect game, in my opinion. But the fact that it launched the Switch, Nintendo's most successful console since the Wii... You just that is such a critical point that I think that it has to be mentioned. When you look at the story of the 2010s, Breath of the Wild is probably the most important game for Nintendo.
Right. Thank you for mentioning. Yeah, the fact that it's launched with the Switch and it was the transition period from Wii U to the Switch. I think, yeah, as I said, it definitely had a significance in Nintendo's transition. I mean, again, the Breath of the Wild still came out for the Wii U, but obviously it was meant for the Switch regardless in the end. And yeah, like, that's, I guess you'll kind of say, like, that was the Breath of the Wild was a swan song game for the Wii U, because yeah, unfortunately Wii U did bad, but now with Switch and just selling like hotcake now, and Breath of the Wild is pretty much the essential must-have game, I guess it's kind of like that's signifying that return to brilliance since the days of the Wii, if you ask me. Because again, the Wii was a great hot-selling system, and so now it's kind of like that second coming of the Wii with the Nintendo Switch. So yeah, so wrapping it all up, I'd say, like, yeah, Zelda Breath of the Wild is just that game that kind of had that lot of significance from Nintendo's mentality to just affecting its audience. So yeah, for me, Breath of the Wild definitely has, I feel, is the game of the decade for me.
Tyler?
Okay, so I agree. Breath of the Wild is a great choice, and I would say that's probably my runner-up. Personally, Fire Emblem was my favorite game of the decade, but I would say if I had to give out the award, I would give it to Super Smash Ultimate. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is the ultimate celebration of gaming. I mean, we've said it before on this podcast. There are so many universes that you never thought would come together in this game, and it's just... It transcends a traditional fighting game. It is totally a celebration of the best franchises to ever grace gaming. From the music collections from all these different franchises, to the well-fleshed-out stages, to the spirits in the single-player content that, I mean, Sakurai makes these spirit battles that represent each character in funny, creative ways that you won't even know unless you actually played those games. And then the Easter egg of, oh, that's why you're battling X character. Makes sense. And it's just, there's so much love put into that game. And on top of that, it's just a darn great game. And the systems are great. It's very well balanced. It's a game with 80 plus characters and more coming. And yet it feels like pretty much every single character is usable and they're fun to play as. There's a play style for everyone. Super Smash Ultimate is Sakurai's best work. And you can just, it culminates years of passion that he has for gaming as a whole. Everyone is here being the hook. It's just, it's a perfect way to celebrate the industry at large. And just, it's just become a staple of this decade. It was, when you go over to a friend's house, what are you trying to play? You're trying to play Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And in fact, I would actually agree that the Breath of the Wild is possibly one of the best games ever made. There's just something special about Smash Brothers Ultimate that just appeals to everybody. And we were all, you could argue even that in 2018 especially, the biggest question was what Smash Brothers was going to be. Because we saw the teaser with the Splatoon kids, and all we could think about was, is this a new game or is this a port? Because Nintendo at this time was porting games like crazy. They were, you know, making upgraded versions, remasters, or whatever. You know, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Pokemon Tournament DX, New Super Mario Smash, Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, etc., etc. And all we could think of is, are they going to do this to Smash Brothers just to make a quick buck? And for a while, we were just waiting and waiting, and then the first trailer for Smash Bros. Ultimate comes out, and we're seeing all these characters, and we're seeing their numbers, and we're like, what does this mean? And then all of a sudden it says, everyone is here. And we're like, oh, heck yeah. And it became so clear that they were just going to make a game. They were going to make the game. They were going to make the Smash Brothers game to end all Smash Brothers games. If this may be the end, we don't know. But, and then beyond that, they listened to the fans more than any other time in history. And they brought together all the characters that we wanted to see in Smash Brothers game. They gave us Ridley. They gave us King K. Rool. They gave us Banjo. They gave us Simon Belmont and Richter Belmont. You know, they gave us Daisy. Oh, wait, that's just what Tyler wanted.
And Crom. Don't forget about Crom.
Yes.
Any minute now, they're going to bring us Choir Kids, too. I cannot wait to play as Choir Kids.
Oh, shut up.
I'm just kind of surprised they even brought Joker for Persona 5. Which
there you
all
go.
Things.
And we still got more characters. And we still got more characters. And that's the thing, is that this is a game that is not, like Tyler said, a celebration of gaming, but it's a celebration of gaming generations. Because, you know, Persona 5 is new, but Castlevania is old. And, you know, then you throw in, like, Banjo, who has heyday in the N64 era. Nuts and Bolts sucked. And
Nuts and Bolts was a good game.
No, it wasn't.
Then
you have, like, Terry Bogard and Ken. You know, you throw in Incineroar. And, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. Or the hero from Dragon Quest 11, but with all his other forms for the various Dragon Quest games. You know, these are the things that make Smash Bros. Special. And as if to prove just how good of a game it is, it broke, like, every record you could think of for a fighting game and for a Nintendo game, more or less. It's the best-selling fighting game of all time, period. Super Street Fighter 2 was the previous winner. Smash Brothers has beaten it. All right, it's now pushed Smash Brothers as the best-selling fighting game franchise of all time, period. And it's had one of the best launches in Nintendo history and Nintendo Switch history. It sold like 12 million copies in a month. 12 million.
Yep.
That's almost Call of Duty numbers, almost. So, you know, you. Breath of the Wild helped change the game in terms of how we view a Zelda franchise. It embraced the open world in an absolutely beautiful way that we can all appreciate. And we're all waiting for Breath of the Wild 2, and there is no doubt about that. But when it comes to Game of the Decade, the game that we're going to be thinking about for a long time, Breath of the Wild 2 may beat Breath of the Wild. We don't know. But it would take a gosh dang miracle for the next Smash Brothers game, if there even is one, to be Ultimate because of everything that they did, from the characters to the combat to World of Light online and everything in between. Sakurai gave everything, including an IV, to make this happen. So that deserves praise. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast for the year and the decade. Tyler!
We did not have a poll last week.
I know. We need a poll for this one.
Do we need a poll for this one?
Yes.
We need to end it on a decade. We need to end one on the decade.
You're right. We do.
Okay.
We do.
So here's what we'll do. We're going to do a four-tier game of the year. Like four choices.
Okay.
So, game of the year. Game of the year or game of the decade?
Game of the year.
Game of the year. Okay. What was the Nintendo Switch Game of the Year 2019? Was it A, Fire Emblem Three Houses, B, Fire Emblem Three Houses, C, Fire Emblem Three Houses, or D,
Fire Emblem Heroes?
Yes. Plot twist.
Fire Emblem Heroes, yeah.
Okay, seriously, though. Fire Emblem Three Houses, Luigi's Mansion 3, A Link's Awakening, or
Mario Maker 2.
Mario Maker 2. That's fair. Those are the four big real first party titles. Oh, wait. What about Pokemon Sword and Shield?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Put them in over Luigi's Mansion. Let's be fair.
Yes, that's a good point.
Okay. So Fire Emblem, Pokemon, Link's Awakening, Mario Maker 2.
Perfect. Oh, and one more thing. I have one more thing to announce. I would like to announce the podcast of the year. The Nintendo Entertainment Podcast wins the podcast of the year.
Yes.
Congratulations. You guys did a great job. I did a great job. I can't believe we won.
Whoa,
I can't believe we won.
Surprise!
I think I might die from surprise. No. Well played, you two. Yes, this has been another fun year. We thank you for letting us talk your ears off. We hope to have a very fun 2020 with everything that comes out with Nintendo and beyond. And again, we will be joined by Captain Toad Taylor for our fourth annual Nintendo Draft, where we'll be talking about what we think Nintendo needs to do to succeed in the year that is 2020 and the decade that begins in 2020. So we hope you'll stay tuned for that. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lies. We have made it to the end of the level, the year, and the decade. Raise the flag.